Let's come to the Word of God this morning, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read from the verse number 19, please. Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. Verses 22 and 23 contain what's commonly known as the fruit of the Spirit. Someone has divided them into categories like this. We could take the first three, love, joy, and peace, and say they're emotional. And we could take long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, and that's evidential, if you like, evidence of our faith. And then we have the final three, faith, meekness, and temperance, which are elementary things in our Christian walk. And the fruit of the Spirit is a marvelous study, and it of course, it will take quite a number of weeks to go through each one subject by subject. But what a blessing the fruit of the Spirit is. What a blessing it would be in any church. Can you imagine a band of God's people? And this is the membership. This is what we see in the membership. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What a marriage. What a church it would be. Can you imagine if you take this into our homes? The relationship between husbands and wives. What a marriage it would be if the fruit of the Spirit was evident in our home life. What a difference it would make in our work life, in our social life, in every facet of our lives if we were to display the fruit of the Spirit. This morning, I just want to pick one out. I want to look at faith this morning. Faith, as it's found in verse number 22. The Greek word for faith is the word pistos, and it's found a number of times in the book of Galatians, and it's used in different ways. For instance, in Galatians 1, verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith. And there the word faith is used as the reveal of the revealed body of truth, the faith. Things which we believe, the word of God, if you like, this morning. And then in Galatians 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here it's saving faith. Faith that is exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we would call saving faith. Faith. And so we have faith as the truth revealed. We have faith as faith exercised. And then here in our reading this morning in the fruit of the Spirit, we see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. I don't believe it's the revealed body of truth. I don't think it's our faith that is exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ when we trust Him as our own and personal Savior. Rather, I think a better translation of the word would be faithfulness. And it's not God's faithfulness, it's your faithfulness this morning. The marks of a believer who's filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, one of the marks of the believer, and of course all of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits, it's fruit singular. You can't take one, it's not pick and mix, it's an all-in package. And one of the marks of someone who's walking in the Spirit, someone who's filled by the Spirit, is faithfulness. What about you this morning? when it comes to faithfulness. I'm told in Yellowstone National Park there are a number of geishas. These shoot fountains of hot water up into the air. And one of them is the most famous of all. Not because the fountain it shoots up into the air goes higher than anyone else, but because you could set your clock by it. Apparently at the same time every day, it seems to shoot this shoot of water up into the air every 65 minutes, I'm told. It's called Old Faithful. You could set your clock by it. Are you Old Faithful this morning? Are you Young Faithful this morning? Are you dependable this morning? It's often been said that the greatest ability is dependability. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? And Solomon asked the question, a faithful man, who can find? Can we find faithful men, faithful women, faithful young people in Lisburn Baptist Church this morning? We've read from verse number 19. You see, it sets the context for us this morning. Look at verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then we have the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, things that satisfy or gratify the flesh, the old nature. And Paul's encouraging the believers to walk in the Spirit. And he knows that the old nature, the old flesh is going to be challenged. There's going to be that desire to satisfy the old things in our lives. And when that's the case, then our faithfulness could bend or buckle. We'll be sorely tried and tested. And the only way we can stand is to walk in the Spirit, to be filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. And if that's the case, then we're going to display the fruit of the Spirit. A fruitful Christian, a Spirit-filled Christian, will be a faithful Christian. Many people clamor today for the gifts of the Spirit. Not too many clamor for the graces of the Spirit. And that's what we see in the fruit of the Spirit. And again, I want to think about faithfulness this morning. Let me say something, first of all, about divine faithfulness. What an example we see in our God this morning. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. What a faithful God we have this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. What a faithful God we have this morning. Peter, writing to believers who were really suffering, believers whose backs were against the wall, reminds him in 1 Peter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And Peter reminds them that we have a faithful Creator. You can commit your souls into his keeping. You can trust him this morning. He's faithful when it comes to creation. The stars and the planets move in their orbit by precision. The earth revolves consistently around its axis. The seasons of the earth continue to go undiminished in their regularity. He is a faithful Creator this morning. Just look around you. You can trust him this morning. You can depend on him this morning. You can trust the well-being of your soul into the hands of our Savior this morning. No matter what the trial, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the suffering. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the faithful witness in Revelation 1 verse 5. Revelation 3 verse 14, he's the faithful and true witness. Revelation 19 verse 11, he's called the faithful and true one. What a faithful God we have this morning. You know, we were thinking last Lord's Day of the resurrection. We could go just beyond that to the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? And yet he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Paul says in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not just any death, even the death of the cross. What a faithful Savior we have this morning. God's faithful when it comes to his tongue. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Psalm 119 verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. You can trust the word of God this morning. He's a faithful God this morning. Remember when he told the disciples to pass on to the other side at Galilee? And even in the midst of the journey, when the storm was raging and it seemed that they were going to perish, yet the Lord's word held firm and they reached the other side. No matter what storm you're going through this morning, no matter what adversity you're facing this morning, physical, financial, spiritual, no matter what the storm clouds are saying this morning, you've got a faithful God this morning. You can trust him this morning. His promises are good this morning. He'll be faithful to his word this morning. He's faithful with his tongue. He's faithful when we're touched by sin to keep us in the family of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. He's faithful when it comes to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. There hath no temptation. Remember, the word temptation in itself is neutral. It can be solicitation to evil. It can be a test. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's faithful this morning. Faithfulness oozes from every pore in his divine body this morning. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. It was David Livingstone who penned in his diary on January the 14th, 1856. Felt much turmoil of spirit and prospect of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and this teeming population knocked on the head by savages tomorrow. But I read that Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. And that's the end of it. Livingstone knew he had a faithful God. He could trust the Lord. What a faithful God you and I have this morning. No question about divine faithfulness this morning. Then I want to think secondly about the duty of faithfulness this morning. Faithfulness is not just something God desires and something that God admires, but it's something that God requires. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required that a man be found faithful. Come over to Matthew 25 for a few moments. Matthew chapter 25, please. This is the parable of the talents. You're no doubt well aware of it. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one, verse 15, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. You know the story well. Men are given talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, according to their ability. We know that the master represents God, that we are the servants, and the servant was going to return, and he was looking for accountability. And as I think of the talents, I see them as areas of responsibility. Notice they were giving out according to ability. The Lord doesn't ask you to be faithful to do something that you're not able to do. God has given you the ability. If God asks you to do something, he'll give you the help to do whatever he wants you to do. James Merritt said, faithfulness is simply doing your duty until your duty is done. Robert E. Lee said this, duty is the sublimest word in our language. Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more. You should never wish to do less. Someone put it like this, faithfulness is taking every opportunity to use every ability for the glory of God. We're not born with equal ability, but we have been given responsibility. And God has given us certain responsibilities. And God's going to require faithfulness in that area of responsibility. Sometimes we hear about footballers giving 100%. I was listening to the radio yesterday and it talked about a football team who are at the bottom of the league. They have so few points. And someone said they just haven't been given 100%. Another commentator says, I can't believe that. No footballer would step out onto a football pitch and not give his all. And surely if it's demanded of sportsmen, how much more it should be expected of God's people. 100% faithfulness. Are you a faithful man, a faithful woman this morning? Maybe there's a problem this morning. Luke 16, verse 10, the Lord said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Do you find it difficult to be faithful in the little things? Do you think sometimes that the little things are maybe beneath you? And if God give you something big to do, I'll be faithful in the big thing. But God's asking you to do something that appears to you to be very small, insignificant. And really, you're not too interested in it. And unless you're faithful in that which is least, the Lord's not going to entrust you with something that's greater. William Carey was a missionary for 8 years in India. He had seen practically nothing. And writing home to one of his friends, he said, just pray for us that we may be faithful to the end. Would you have been faithful to the end? Moses was faithful in the backside of the desert. Joseph was faithful in prison when no one knew he was there. David was faithful and he was asked to carry supplies to his brothers, and God took these men on and used them for greater things. Someone has said this, what's wrong with some people is they think they're too good for the small things. They want to get on with the big things. Longfellow said this, most people would succeed in small things if they weren't troubled with great ambition. Is that your problem this morning? God has asked you to be faithful. Faithful somewhere in the background, but that doesn't seem to appeal to you this morning. Father, where shall I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. Then he pointed me toward a tiny spot and said, tend that for me. I answered quickly, oh no, not that. Why, no one would ever see. No matter how well my work was done in that little place for me. And the word he spoke, it wasn't stern. He answered me tenderly. Ah, little one, search that heart of thine. Are you working for them or me? Nazareth was a little place, and so was Galilee. How faithful are you this morning? How faithful are you in your work this morning. I don't see any difference between people talk about secular employment and non-secular employment. Listen, whatever you do for the Lord. Doesn't matter where you do it. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. That means as an employee, you show up on time, you don't leave early, you give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Are you faithful at work? Are you faithful with your wealth? Luke 16, verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Are you faithful when it comes to giving? It's the fruit of the Spirit this morning. Faithful in our work, faithful in our wealth. Are you faithful when it comes to worship this morning? Paul said in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It seemed that some people found it easy not to be at the meeting place. Some people found it easy to abscond when the people of God gathered to worship. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If the Lord Jesus is coming back, would you want to be missing when he comes? Are you faithful when it comes to worship this morning? In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 10, verse 39, the people stand up and they boldly say, we will not forsake the house of our God. Two chapters later, in chapter 13, this is what Nehemiah has to ask them. Why is the house of God forsaken? They stood up and they said, we will not forsake the house of our God. Nehemiah asks the question, why is the house of God forsaken? If you study chapter 10 through to chapter 13, you'll discover they stopped listening to God. You'll discover they started to mix with the world. You discover that their leadership was weak. You discover they stopped giving as they ought. They were working when they shouldn't. They were ignoring God's Sabbaths. And they were living ungodly lives. And the house of God was forsaken. I remember wasn't my first car, but my second car was an RS Sport. Some people will remember what they used to be like. I had an orange one. And I had two spotlights in the front and a big spotlight in the back. When you put her into reverse, it just was like a lighthouse, this big beacon. Had a horn on her like the Dukes of Hazzard. And when you hit it, you really got attention. And I can remember driving around Cookstown in this 16 Sport. It was an orange one. Had a lovely little number on it, EIB 654. Was a beautiful car. And I said, surely the woman will not be able to resist me in a motor like this. Didn't work out that way. Didn't work out. But you see, in the mornings when I went out to start the car, it wouldn't start. And that happened probably 3 mornings out of 5. Now, would you keep a car like that? Would you call it a faithful motor? You know, if you went to have a shower in the morning and the water was freezing because your heating system failed, would you call it a faithful heating system? Well, it works 5 mornings out of 7. If your refrigerator works 5 days out of 7, would you keep it? Would you hold on to it? If you were repaying a loan and you pay 10 of the repayments every year instead of 12, will the bank call you faithful? If you go home and say to your wife, I'm going to be faithful to you most of the time. Or if you were to say to your husband, I'll be faithful most of the time. How far would you get with that? And yet when it comes to worship, Lord, we'll turn up a few Sundays in the month. Don't ask me, Lord, to come out twice on a Sunday. That's just too much for me. I'll try and be there the odd morning. Can the Lord really describe you when it comes to worship as a faithful Christian this morning? Are you faithful in your work? Are you faithful with your wealth? Are you faithful with your worship? Are you faithful with your word? Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. You're no better than your word. Someone has said that the only thing worth giving, the only thing not worth giving unless you keep it is your word. Can you be trusted this morning? Are you faithful with your word? Could you keep a secret? Could someone confide in you this morning? Because they know you're a faithful person. They can trust you this morning. Faith is about trusting God. It's about God trusting us. It's also about others trusting us. Is your life marked by faithfulness this morning? In Proverbs 25, verse 13, it talks about a faithful person is like snow in the harvest time. And the harvest time would have been roasting. And the sweat would have been pouring. I remember as a young lad helping at harvest time in both the bales of hay and the bales of straw. And it usually was a summer's day and it was so warm and you were roasting. Something cool would be so refreshing. A faithful person is so refreshing. In the same chapter, Proverbs 25 verse 19 says this, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. A broken tooth is not much use. A foot out of joint is painful. Are you painful to the body of Christ this morning? Because you're unfaithful. By no stretch of the imagination could you be described as a faithful man or a faithful woman this morning. Solomon says you're like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You see divine faithfulness. You see the duty of faithfulness. Let me finish off with the delight of faithfulness. If you're still in Matthew 25, look at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 21, he said unto them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Notice that the reward was the same for both. The Lord's not asking you to be the best. He's asking you to do your best. To do your best where he has placed you. To do your best with what he has given you. If you can't be a highway, then just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. It's be the best at whatever you are. It's not temporal success. It's not ecclesiastical recognition. It's not popular claim. It's doing your best with the talents, abilities, and opportunities that God has given you. Paul mentioned quite a number of men in his writings. He talked about Timothy, of course, and Gaius and Titius. He talked about Epaphras, Onesimus, Silvanus. You know what marked them all? They were described as faithful. Faithful. Your obituary may not be in the Times. You never have an audience with the Queen. You're not going to get an OBE or an MBE, perhaps not. You're not going to be in the who's who. You might be in the who's not. But if you're a faithful man or a faithful woman of God, you're a success. And you're a success story. It's not being the best. It's doing your best. The Lord Jesus, writing to the churches of Asia in Revelation 2, said this to the church of Smyrna. Fear none of those things which I shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What a delight of faithfulness. Faithful unto death, faithful unto the end. And I'll give you a crown of life. Matthew 25, verse 23. I love those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Surely that's what we're striving for, isn't it? Surely that's what we want to hear when we meet the Lord face to face. Well done, good and faithful servant. I remember when I was growing up in the church in Coke, when Jackie Hughes was the pastor there, I always remember, even when it wasn't saved, he used to say very often that the Lord won't say well done if you haven't done well. He won't say well done if you haven't done well. Will you hear the well done, good and faithful servant? Will I hear it? The U.S. Marines are over 200 years old. They spent some time trying to work out a motto. Eventually they come up with the Latin word Semper Fidelis, always faithful. There's no problem with the word faithful. The big problem comes to the word always. We can be faithful in the good times. We can be faithful when it suits us. We can be faithful when it's convenient for us. Are we always faithful this morning? We just reached the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Somme coming up on the 1st of July. I remember reading a story during World War I, and I've been out at the Somme a number of times, and I've had a look at the trenches, and I've read a story about a man who went up over the top. And when they come back, he noticed his friend was lying in no man's land. He said to the captain, to the leader, he says, I want to go and get him, he's my friend. He says, no, you're not going. He's as good as dead. You go out there, you're dead too. Nevertheless, he disobeyed orders. Up over the top into no man's land. He got his friend, put him over his shoulder. By this stage, he too was mortally wounded. His friend was dead. When he got back into the trench, he laid his friend down, and he lay down, knew that he was dying. And the commanding officer came over and he says, look, I told you, what a waste of time. He says, it wasn't a waste of time, it was worth it. How do you mean worth it? He's dead, you're dead, you're dying. How can it not be a waste of time? He says, do you know when I reached there, what he said to me? He says, Jim, I knew you'd come. Jim, I knew you'd come. I wonder sometimes if the Lord Jesus was standing in the car park in Lisburn Baptist Church, could he say to you, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come.